Hello and welcome to
Ghost Beat,
a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Hi. We watched Horror in the High Desert. Uh-oh, forgot to look it up. Well, I know it's from 2021 because I did read this is a COVID movie, which kind of explains some things about the production. It was directed by Dutch Marriage, who it looks like he's directed a bunch of other horror movies. Probably like, well, let's not judge. He's a working director, working horror director. But this one, it's interesting because I heard a lot of people talk about this. Had you heard about this at all before we saw it?
No, not at all.
I heard people drop this when talking about like found footage movies. It really, I'll just say right out the gate, we're not going to talk spoilers right now. And just to set it up, the movie, it's really like a pseudo documentary. And if I'm being honest, most of the movie felt like an Unsolved Mysteries episode.
Yeah.
Or like what it really reminded me of is like a YouTube true crime thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it definitely has that kind of vibe, and maybe it's just not for me, because I'm not really that audience, but how?
This is what I'm talking about.
But the setup is that, like, it's about some young guy who, I guess he loves going out into the desert and, like, just roughing it out there, like, sleeping out there for multiple nights, and he films it. And has like a whole following online. I think they don't really mention like the platform he's on. They just call it vlogs. But
yeah,
we could say he's like a YouTube creator, probably something like that.
Yeah.
And he disappears at some point. So the documentary focuses on them kind of telling a story as this unsolved mystery about like what happened to him. And I think part of the problem with the movie, in my opinion, is that it feels very drawn out. It's like the documentary part of it is very dry, very drawn out. It feels like it's really building up to the ending, which, of course, I won't give away here. I'll say, like, there is some horror in the ending. I would not say that there's any horror in any other part of the movie.
Oh, no. No.
So that's why I wonder, maybe this is just totally not my genre. Or whatever, because I know this stuff's really popular. You know more about this stuff than I do, like the true crime YouTube shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we were kind of losing patience pretty quickly because it just felt like, holy crap, everyone is talking so slow.
And oh my God,
there's
yeah.
like nothing happening. And I wish they had done more to set up more of a mystery and more of the like horror elements, because the little bits that you get just don't feel super exciting or compelling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how did you feel?
I feel almost exactly the same way.
Yeah.
I personally am a fan of, like, mockumentaries. Like, I like that. But this one is just, the interviews are so long. And they also, each of the people that they're interviewing basically are giving the same information in a different way.
Yeah. That's the part that feels, like, really drawn out.
Yeah. It's just, no offense to any of the acting, like you're doing what you can do for this. I do feel like some of it made it feel a little bit more believable. But at the same time, I think, like you said, like I was losing interest pretty quickly. Like after an hour, I was like, okay.
Yeah, and I think they're really butting up against their restrictions because of COVID. I know one of the actors is just straight up on Zoom the whole time.
Yeah.
It feels like they're kind of trying to work within the same limits as like Host, but I think Host delivered much better than this, you know?
Yeah. I think Zoom interviews can feel believable, especially, you know, after COVID. I feel like that is definitely something that is even used in real documentaries. I don't know what it was. It just felt like there was a certain type of glue not holding this together in the beginning.
Yeah, I think it's just they have like a crumb of information that is spread out over an hour. Yeah. And yeah, it just, I don't know, it didn't really hold my attention. I think people are probably really relying on the ending
yeah.
as the thing to carry it. But even that I felt like was kind of disappointing. We'll get into that more.
Okay.
In a minute, but yeah. I mean, do you agree, or did it work more for you?
I think it worked. The ending worked for me a little bit. I think it's effective, but you know, I mean, I'll get into that.
I think it wasn't enough to carry the rest of the movie, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a lot more to really say, because yeah, there really just isn't a lot that happens. I know there are two other movies, and I think there's a fourth one being made, so they are really just running and gunning with this concept. And I am kind of curious what they do with the other movies, especially after, you know, once they deliver at the end, it's kind of like, all right, we can't just do the same, you know, very dry mystery. Like, yeah, it's got to start moving a lot more. I'm wondering if maybe if they could have just taken the three movies and put them in one movie, if maybe we'd have a better package, but I don't even know where it goes.
I don't know. I still want to see, though.
Yeah, we'll find out. We are broken in that way, so we're going to have to see them all. But I don't know, there isn't a lot else to say without spoiling it, so why don't we just get into that?
So enthusiastically.
Sorry.
It's funny.
Yeah, okay, let's get into the spoilers. So yeah, I think, yeah, part of the problem is, like, the movie can be summed up as, like, a guy who is definitely on the spectrum, who likes going out into the wild and filming himself, mm-hmm. disappears for a few days, and everyone's like, oh, that's very uncharacteristic of him. And it's like, that's it. Like, that is the whole story. And we just get that explained to us over and over and over again.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then, of course, you have his sister who just... I almost felt bad for her by the end, because she is really being portrayed as, like, the most annoying person on earth. Who's just, like, constantly fucking things up and getting in the way of the investigation.
Yeah, all of the other, like, characters in the story are just like, yeah, she just really fucked this whole thing up.
Like, constantly, you just have her talking about how worried she is, and then it cuts to someone who's like, yeah, she really got involved and just fucked it all up, like every step of the way. And it made me feel bad, because it's like part of the time, they don't even really explain, like, what she did to fuck it up. You know what I mean?
Well, towards the end, we get all the information at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
All the important information, at least, it seems.
Yeah, I guess so. It was funny that, obviously, we are not denigrating anybody by saying that they seem to be on the spectrum, because we are very likely on the spectrum.
Yeah.
But it was funny that we were kind of like, oh, I guess that's the thing. And then, like, the next shot was him talking about his, like, train set.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I guess that's confirmed.
Yeah, he, like, met his roommate because of their love of trains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, it's just, yeah, there's like, so little to really talk about, because it's just the whole story is that he leaves his truck somewhere, goes off and disappears, and then they discover his truck later and it looks like it was moved, which, by the way, when we get into what happens at the ending, that element makes no sense to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a little bit of a plot hole.
Maybe that's explained more in the other movies, but I did think it was kind of an interesting twist that they discover that he has this channel and, like, this following. Mm-hmm. And everything. That's cool, but it's just the movie is so backloaded, you know, because the whole thing is, it's all this build up, and then the reveal is that his backpack appears at, like, some random campsite, and it has his severed hand in it with his footage. And the whole time I'm waiting, like, I know they have some kind of fucking footage that they're gonna show us, because otherwise, what are we doing here? Like, there's nothing here. It's like the most nothing mystery. And so when they're finally like, oh yeah, we discovered this footage, it's like, okay, like, we've really been building up to this the whole time. And the footage, I mean, it's okay. It does the thing where, you know, it reminds me of stuff like Outwaters, which we are Outwaters defenders. I think we might be the only ones on Earth from what I've seen online.
Really? I have to look into that.
People fucking hate Outwaters.
Oh, weird. I gotta look into that.
I think it's in, people put it in the same category as, like, Skinamarink, you know?
What?
Which.
Okay, first of all. We're not going to get into that.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that, because I want to give Skinamarink. I think we didn't really give Skinamarink a fair shake, because you were having issues with the flashing lights and everything.
Well, yeah, I have, like, auditory sensitivity and like light sensitivity, and that movie just like fucked with me.
I want to figure that out because the things I've heard sound like maybe I can get into that vibe, you know. So we might also wind up being Skinamarink defenders, who knows. But yeah, Outwaters really worked for us, and I don't mind. Like, people complain that, like, oh, you can't see anything or whatever. Like,
that's the point of the movie.
I know, but that's like, but it I think it works for me that, like, the idea of showing you just enough and having to piece together. Maybe, who fucking knows? Maybe it's because I've spent time camping and shit, and I know how scary it is when, like, you can't see anything and you're just, like, hyper aware of every little sound and trying to figure out what you're hearing, you know. Like, there's something to that that is like really primal and creepy, and they do play into that at the end with this footage, like those static shots where you can barely see anything because it's so dark, and you're just trying to like figure out like what are you hearing, because there were all those weird sounds and everything going, which they never, I just realized they never explained that. Do you remember that?
No, they didn't explain that,
because the whole reveal seems to be that there's some person living out here who's like deformed, and I guess that's why he's living in isolation, which even that didn't work for me. Like, he just, at one point when we saw the guy, I was like, there's too much fucking shit on me, because he just looked like the guy from I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah.
Like, the makeup didn't work for me. I'm sorry. I think it's just very, very clear that it's like a big mask because it's not moving or anything. But it was kind of creepy the way he's getting pursued. He does, like, there's a point where he just pulls out a fucking gun and just starts shooting, and I'm like, all right, bro, like, damn, like, I didn't know that you were packing
weird
like that. So I don't know, it just it felt like it like halfway got there, but it didn't totally deliver on it. But there is, like, there were those weird sounds coming from the house, and maybe they're trying to set something up, like a bigger mystery for the sequels, but I don't know if it's really effective to give us nothing in this one. You know, like, that also feels like it's just a fucking YouTube video. This is, like, part one.
Oh, yeah. And it's total clickbait.
Exactly. And I don't know if that really works for an actual movie. Like, come on, man.
Well, I think it's a little unfair that I had to sit through, like, an hour and a half of it's mockumentary. Okay.
The movie is 80 minutes total.
Oh, really?
So, yes. So maybe it felt like an hour and a half.
It literally did, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's a little unfair. I have to sit through all of that, and then I'll
the 2 hours of documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole 3 hours of documentary that I got. And there's just a small bit of found footage that I kind of liked. I thought it was a little creepy. I think I would have liked it a little bit more had I not had to sit through 4 hours of documentary.
Yeah. I think that's the big thing. I don't want to, like, shit on that part too bad.
Because
I think it mostly gets there. It's just that when you have that teeny little bit at the end of this really slow pseudo-documentary, it just, I was kind of checked out by then. It was like, it made me have to kind of wake up and be like, oh, okay, now we're doing the horror.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I think as a, like, first in a series, maybe we'll look back more fondly once we watch the others. Because from what I saw, the other ones are rated okay. Like, I think they have higher ratings than this one.
Okay.
So always down for that. I mean, we went through all the Hell House LLC movies, and that was something where, like, the first one was great, and then it went downhill, and then the fourth one went right back up to being really great. So who knows, maybe there is something here with these movies, so we'll check them all out. But I really don't have anything else to say about it.
No, I don't really either.
It's hard to recommend on its own, you know.
Yeah, I might feel more comfortable recommending it after I guess I see all the other ones.
Yeah. I honestly, until right now, I totally forgot about those weird sounds we were hearing. They were pretty creepy, but I guess it's, since it doesn't get explained, it just, like, left my brain. But that does leave, like, the door open for something more interesting, so we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, they do end the movie with saying that there were a bunch of YouTubers going out there, so maybe
that's
the angle.
I'm guessing that's the setup for the next one. Yeah. And if the next one winds up being, like, entirely found footage, like people investigating, that might be fun. It was a fun wrinkle that it's like they mentioned that YouTubers kept going out there, and it's like, yeah, this is the society we live in, I guess, that, like, when something like this happens, YouTubers just creep out of the shadows, like, and then they have to like hold them at bay from going out there. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. You can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod and follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything that we cover. Also, honestly, good fucking title.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think the titles might be the best part of the whole thing.
It is a good title.
Okay. How do you feel about Above Jeepers Creepers 2? Actually, now that I think about it. How about Below Jeepers Creepers 2 and Above Arcadian?
I can't. Look, I'm not the biggest fan of this movie, but it's better than Jeepers Creepers 2. Like, get out of here.
So Above Jeepers Creepers 2, but under the Hamiltons.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay. And that puts it at number 48, which is completely meaningless, realizing because the list is constantly changing, so it doesn't mean anything. But whatever, that's where it is right now. We have a top 50 now. We actually have a top 53.
Nice.
You can also email us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. And sure, let us know. I don't know when we're going to watch the sequels, so if you've seen them, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah.
Don't spoil it, but, you know,
please, God.
Let us know if it's worth it. That's it. Bye.